Okay, I'm ready to start. My name is Gary Devendorf, and I'm the very strange thing at Microsoft. I am the Lotus Notes applications expert. I'm the only one. I used to say it was me and Ray Ozzie, but Ray Ozzie's moved on, so it's just me now doing this. For 7 years, I was the product manager at Lotus for all the app dev features: Lotus Script, Diamond Designer, the app formulas, the backend classes. That was the products that I took care of, worked on the features. My last big feature was web services, Notes 7. In 2003, IBM announced that Notes was dead and that they were going to rewrite it using DB2 as the back end and WebSphere as the front end, and it's going to be a browser-only thin client. Then they laid us all off, all us developers at Lotus, and then the customers screamed and they said, "No, you misunderstood. No, we really Notes is fine. We're just doing this new workplace thing, but Notes is fine." But they really had no developers left. They'd already gotten rid of all of us. So I ended up doing different things and ended up at Microsoft as a technical evangelist for SharePoint 2003. Nothing to do with Notes, SharePoint. However, being the only person at Microsoft who knew about Notes, whenever a question came up about Notes, I had the answer. I said, "Oh, here's this, here's this." So eventually they said, "Hey, can you come and help us with our customers that have Lotus Notes?" So for the last 3 or 4 years, I've been doing helping customers who have Lotus Notes integrate, migrate, train Notes developers, whatever it is, answer questions about Notes. So that's the result of this. And luckily, I get to travel, being the only person that does this. I get to travel around, and when the local guys heard I was in Geneva, they said, "Hey, can you come over to Vienna, spend a day?" So, which is great, which is nice because I like to travel. So this is our time. We can do whatever we want, whatever's most important. The way I saw it is that I want to talk about, I generally do an entire day. And in the morning, I talk to managers. I do a little thing about the value, like why, business level. And we'll do a little bit of that. And then I kind of go into the how. So I go, why do you care? What's the advantages of it? So let's do a little show of hands. How many people here are Notes developers? One developer, the rest are you guys managers? Or you own the Notes applications, but you're not developers? Okay. Okay, good. And that's totally good too. And my goal is for you to leave here understanding the scope. How hard is it? What's involved, and again, why? Why would I want to move, and how hard, how much time and money do I need to have in order to take these existing Notes applications, which there's many, 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 many out there, and what do you do with them? So so I can talk about, how to approach this problem. It's so funny because up till now, Microsoft comes to customers and says, "Mail, mail, mail. We'll handle your mail. We want to get you off of Lotus Notes mail." And Notes customers are always like, "Well, mail's this much of Lotus Notes. It's really, it's a platform. It's an application platform." But customers were like, "I don't want to, I'm going to pretend I don't know about applications and just do the mail because that's easy. So let's do the mail part. It's easy." And then they come back and go, "Now what about the applications?" And that's usually when they call me. They say, "Hey, Gary, can you come and help with the application?" So it's kind of funny that they never think of it up front. Well, I shouldn't say never. So I have some slides, but I'm hoping to do a lot of demos. That's kind of my plan. But I want to talk about, we're going to talk about what is SharePoint from a business point of view. Like, why do you care? If you've been doing Microsoft for a while, but maybe you don't know the differences between Notes. So everything I'm going to talk about is from a Notes developer point of view. If you're a Notes person, how do you see things? I do a lot of translation, like in Notes, you do it this way. But from the business point of view, and this is for managers who say, "What is SharePoint? I don't know what this is, and why should I care?" It's super, super high level. This is my gray hair speaking. From my experience, there's always the IT people who have a budget. They have so many people. They have network, hard drives, data centers, and it's very limited. It's fixed. This is what you have. Your resources are fixed. Your end users, or like to call the children out there, they want everything yesterday. I want the best toys. I want them to never break. I want them to always be up, and I want them yesterday. And the new thing they hear about, I want it, I want it, I want it. So they're always saying, "I want all these features." And in the old days, IT would just say, "Tough, you get it when I give it to you. I'm a very strict parent." And then when people got PCs and tools on their own, they said, well, if you can't give me my application that does what I want, I'll go get Access. I'll write it myself. Or I'll run my entire business on Excel. Or I'll do something else because you can't give me, enable me to do what I want fast enough. And so you'd say, great, I'm IT, you're going to do it yourself, you won't bother me. Fine. However, they would write something very bad. It would grow and grow and grow, and then it would break. And they'd come to you now and say, here, like a child, here's my toy, it's broken. And you'd say, well, that's not my problem. And then they go up to the grandparents, the top management, and say, I cannot run my business without this application that's broken. And then they bring it back to you and say, now you have to fix it. And the problem with that is that you're stuck with your resources fixing their bad things. Now, you might say, well, give me 100 new developers and I'll make everyone happy. Well, management will never let you do that. So what SharePoint does is it gives the children the tools that are safe. So with the skills of creating an Excel spreadsheet, end users can create their own applications with a browser, no special tools. So if I need to, in my business, keep track of something, so in the notes world, most notes applications are a database with a view and forms. That's it, a view and forms. I put my data in, I edit my data, I sort my data, I report on my data. That's most of them. I can do that in Excel, right? I can create an Excel spreadsheet with columns and I can put my data in and I can sort it and I can view it. But that's really bad because that Excel spreadsheet is on my hard drive. By having the same skills and put that data in SharePoint, I go into a browser, I define my columns, I add my data, I have my form, then I make these people happy and I'm scalable, right? I can have 500 people look at that browser, see that data, share that data. It's backed up, right? I don't worry about my hard drive crashing and losing my entire business. It's all backed up. It's searchable, meaning that I do an enterprise search for a part number, and it's in your list, I find it. Unlike in notes, I had to know where it was, what database is it in to go look for it. Here I'm like, and that saves you from recreating things. You know, gee, is there information on this? I don't know. I can't find it. I'll recreate it all. So I can do a search and find it. So, and if I want to make changes to this, how many times, the only notes developer, how many views have you created? You create views daily. People come in and say, that view of the data, I want another column. Or I want the background blue. Or I want this font differently. Or I want a calculated field. Or I want whatever. And you're doing that and it's boring. For notes developer, it's like, yeah, I have lunch is at 11. I'll have it to you by 10:55. It's really easy. But in SharePoint, you push that onto these people. Do it yourself. With a browser, I can let you go in and do that. And I'm not letting you do anything dangerous. By dangerous, I cannot write a loop from a browser in SharePoint. You can't write a loop. You can't. The tools aren't there, which is frustrating sometimes for us technical people. But they can't write an infinite loop then. So that's the idea, is that I can say if they are children, we're giving them the scissors for cutting paper that are rubber on the end and blunted. They can only do so much. Not the best scissors in the world, but they can get them by. And so I'm going to take a lot of the work that would have been here, and I'm going to push it down to the end users. And then I'm left doing the interesting stuff, the stuff that's more fun. Like, do you use LEI at all, Lotus Enterprise Integrator, or talk to a mainframe, or talk to a relation? To me, that's much more fun. There's only like three slides in this business part. So SharePoint is meant to be social or people-centric. It's meant for the end users. Remember, we're empowering them. We're giving them tools. But also, as an end user, I don't want to have to go to training to know how to use an application. I mean, you almost never sent someone to training to use a notes application, right? You sent them the link. They clicked on it. It was saved to their desktop. And they looked at that, and there's like views and forms. And they just... And they've had buttons, and they didn't have to learn it. You didn't train them. You said, well, fine, there's the view. Here's how I click its menu to create a new item, and I just did it. Same idea. I want users to use the software. This goes back to my gray hair. The worst thing in the world for a developer, maybe not the worst, but one of the worst, is when someone comes to you with a 27-page document and says, this is the application I want you to write. Here's the screenshots. This button's going to do this, this button's going to do that, and we've spent 6 months preparing this requirements document, create this for us. And you do. You sit down and you go, this, oh, look, all the information's here. This is really nice. And you go, there. Here you go. And you never hear another thing. And they never use it. Because they gave it to someone and they went, I'll use Excel. And I hated that. You know, they did that work, I did that work, and no one used it. And the idea was it was just too hard to use or too confusing because the person who laid it out knew about the task, but it wasn't really people focused. So you want to have it looked presented to people in a way that they don't have to get training. People know how to use Microsoft Word. They know how to use a ribbon at the top now. Right? You click on the ribbon. Some of them. I'm a big fan of the ribbon. When it first came out, I had to fight. People were like, oh, we hate it. You know. Anyways, but if I can give them a common interface, like in Notes, they had a common interface, I can give them a new application every day, and they'll go, oh, okay, I get it. They don't have to be training. So they'll use it. The point is they'll use it. If they don't use it, it's a waste of your time and money. So that's a big part of that. And just like in Notes, SharePoint is connected with Link, which is our same time version. So you have all that kind of built-in stuff. You have discussions and team rooms. And again, it's meant for groups of people. So end users are happy. Groups of people, discussions, all those things. Groupware, it was called. And if you're really old in Lotus Notes, they used to say communication, coordination, collaboration. 3 C's was the kind of thing. So it attacks that. And then the most fun part for me is the composites. Composite means it's glue. And I'm going to glue together everything you need to do your job. Meaning that if I need to work with a mainframe for part of my job, or some of my information is in a relational database, or some of my information is in an Excel spreadsheet, some of my information is here and here and here, when I have to do my job, I want that information all where I can see it. And so you're going to glue together all these pieces so that I have a nice interface. The example I like to use is when you call someone on the phone for customer support, and they ask you for your name, your account number, and then you say, okay, well, no, I don't want to change my bill. I want to change my services. They go, okay, fine. Can you give me your name and account number again? I already gave it to you. Yeah, but that's another system. I have to change screens, and I have to enter that. So you do it again. This is now, oh, wait, now I have another system. Let me go in and ask you again. Keep putting the information in over and over again. Wouldn't it be nice if they had an interface where they put your name and information in here, and all of the other systems got that information and pulled in what they needed? So that's the fun part for a developer. This is what I see Notes developers doing besides migrating their applications. So without code, and this goes back to empowering the end user, and when I say that, some people have heart attacks. They're like, our end users are really, really bad. And if I let them do anything, they will cut themselves. There'll be damage. And so you have to fight this with yourself. I always say, well, you let them use Excel spreadsheets? And they're like, yeah, but I don't have to hear about it. So if they can write an app formula, a formula in Excel, then they can do a lot of things in SharePoint. But you can turn it all off, just like in Notes. I can not let you do things. Or I can let people do a lot. Or I can let the smart people do a lot and the people who don't use it do a little. So I can set all that. But out of the box, there's a lot I can do with no code. The number one thing I say when I talk with the sales guys, they're always like, this customer, we want to tell them about SharePoint. And the customer's very interested in web content management. And we're thinking about SharePoint for that. I go, well, that's nice, but SharePoint is just like a Domino server. It's a Swiss Army knife. Directory, security, data store, document management. It's like all those things it does. Web interface. It's all built into one thing. It's integrated. And that's its value, is that it's integrated. The reason you buy a Swiss Army knife is because you have it one thing in your pocket, and you pull it out, and it does screwdriver. It does all those things. Well, SharePoint's like that. So I always say to customers, you will own SharePoint. You may not own it for web content management, which it does, but just like a Swiss Army knife has a fork, it's not the best fork. It's a fork, and it'll do a lot, but it's not the best fork. If you really need high quantity, money, people, collaboration on web content management, you're probably going to buy another tool. Just like with Domino. You said, if you need this, you can write it in Domino or you can buy something else. It doesn't hurt, but you will buy SharePoint just for the document management. Meaning that, and I'll show you a demo in a little bit, meaning that documents that I have, You know your My Documents folder? You have your My Documents in Windows 7. I assume they still had them back in Vista. But anyways, My Document folder essentially lives on the server in SharePoint. So all my documents are in SharePoint. Which means when you say, can you send me that presentation, I send you the link. My mail file does not get that. Plus, I have one version. I call it one version of the truth. If I have a presentation, it's up on the server, and it's got version control, then I send you links, and then I actually take a copy of it offline. When I open up that presentation, it actually says, aha, I live on a server over here. Do you want me to check for changes and get those updates? So there's still one version of the truth. A master is on the server. So just for that, it gets things out of your mail files, right? It gets all these big documents out of your mail files into one place. It's searchable. Someone searches for that presentation topic, they will find it. And say, we'll do some demos on that. And there's so much value with integration with Office and SharePoint that I say you will buy SharePoint for that. You know, if I was a company, I would definitely get it for that. The rest is nice. Again, you got Domino for applications, and then Mail was a bonus. You know, you got Mail, you got some calendars and things like that. So the business users without code can use a lot of things, and they're in a browser most of the time. Application development, web parts, portlets. Actually, you didn't do any web things, right? So you don't do portlets? No portlets. Little pieces of functionality you can create. I can customize the SharePoint applications with, this is with code. Think of this as configuration. I'm just going to configure it. And this is customization. I'm going to write code. I can do a great, great deal just configuration. Sort of an aside here, if I just configure things, I don't worry about versions. It's a little bit like using a template. If I use a Notes template, version 8 comes out, I know that template will work. Lotus has tested it. These features are all tested for the next version. Custom code you've written isn't. So I might have pain when I go to a new version dealing with what I've written. I don't have to go through a process. I don't have to go through a process with these. Also, it means if I'm going to the cloud, because anything on a server can be in the cloud. It can run it, essentially, a server is your little cloud. Maybe it's fog because it's low cloud next to you. And then you put it up to the server into a hosted environment, all of this will work. No changes. It's exactly the same software running locally as it is in the cloud for Microsoft. So you can move it back and forth. But if I wrote some custom applications, custom code, some infinite loops, then Microsoft won't let you put it to the cloud right away until there's a lot of testing, because you might crash their server. That would make them very unhappy. And then there's a lot of admin kind of things like sandbox. I can run my application in a sandbox where I can set the, if it fails, it has so many errors, shut it off. It uses so much memory, shut it off. It uses so much CPU, shut it off. All these parameters around the applications. So I'm creating a composite application. Most of my applications, the easy ones, will be done with no customization. I'm sorry, it'll be done with configuration, and then with code customization if I have to do something. And then I have an environment to deploy it to. This is a slide I just grabbed because it talks about, these are examples of things you would do. Just like in Domino. I mean, how many, you know, people say, what kind of applications do you write in Lotus Notes? And you're like, well, tell me an application and I can write it in Lotus Notes. It can be done. Pretty much anything you can think of, you can do. SharePoint, the same idea. You know, showing sales reports and pricing analysis and expert finder. And essentially, you're taking all the services built into SharePoint, just like in Notes, and just putting them together. I think this is the last one. This is called the wheel or the pie. Yeah, and everyone who knows Microsoft is sick of it. I'm sick of this. But they put this up to show that the Swiss Army knife, sites is more than just a web page. A site is like a Domino database. It's a unit that contains lots of things. You look at it from a browser or from lots of applications, but it's a unit of functionality. Communities are the people connecting people and functionality together. I can subscribe to sites. I can have presence awareness. I can do lots of things with communities. Content, document. I talked a little bit about document management, where my Word document knows that it lives in a server, and it'll interact with the server and update changes and so on. They can do workflows like document approvals and so on. Search, I mentioned that just the fact that it lives on the server, you can now find it. I can do enterprise search. Insights is charts and graphs. Crunch my numbers, give me reporting, give me dashboards. Composites, again, is the most fun, I think. That's where I'm going to pull other applications in, other functionality, and I'm going to glue it all together. So let's... So the ribbon, I guess I should ask, how many people here are currently using SharePoint? You have SharePoint? Everyone except the Notes developer. You guys are going to be really bored. So the point being, it's just like an Office. Do you have Office? So you've seen the ribbon, and you've complained about it when it first came out, but then you figured it out. Yeah, you love it too? Yeah. Day one, I didn't love it. Because I knew where that was yesterday, and now I don't know where it is. But once I found what I needed to do, on the way I found things I didn't know it could do. So the story of the ribbon really is that Microsoft does a survey every year, every so often, about, we've been making Office for 25 years. What do you want to see next? What features would you like to see next? We kept asking business people, here, what we'd like to see next? What would you see next? And over 90% of what we got back from customers was already in the product. So we found that pretty frustrating. Like, we did it. They don't know it's there. And it's like that write software that no one uses. So it didn't do us no good to add more features that no one knew were there. So that's why the ribbon came out. I said, we're going to put this ribbon up so people can find things and not just have to be experts on it. This ribbon is in the browser now. So your end user experience, you remember, well, you don't do any web thing on Domino. Like early web pages were always really ugly. You know, the early web pages were very static or maybe one button over here kind of thing. The SharePoint experience is almost like an installed app, because this ribbon is actually changing as I'm doing things on the page. It's like, oh, you want to edit an item? I'm going to give you items up here for that. And it's all nice and graphical. And I will say that SharePoint 2007, my biggest complaint was navigation was awful. If I wanted to do something, I had to know which menu to go to know which menu to go to know which menu to go to find out on the page, there it is. And you had to just memorize it. And that was terrible for end users. It wasn't so bad once you spent a little while, but end users were like, you gave me this app and now I don't know how to run it. I now have a ribbon. So just like Office, people can figure it out. It's that no training. Just give it to them. It's a common interface and they can use that. Ajax based just means that when you're doing something on the page, only that piece that gets updated, not the entire page, doesn't redraw. You got themes, like in Windows, I can apply a company theme to my application, make it pretty, because I don't never make it pretty. Mine are always really ugly. I can embed rich media and show movies there. So you end up with a nice, rich user experience. There we go. easy discovery of content, so I can actually go in and navigate my around. I got metadata. Something that I should mention is that, so that's a Word document, and I can click on there, I can edit it. We'll go into more detail on that. But these other columns here, now this is a library, so some of those are predefined, but if I define my own list, and I define a document or some kind of, it can be an InfoPath, Word, Excel, whatever it is, these fields are information that's actually stored inside the document itself. So I give you a Word template, and maybe it's a travel report. And in there you have to put your boss's name and the city you went to and how much it costs and like that. That information can be inside that Word template. And when I create this list, I promote those fields so that they show up as columns here. So in the notes world, you have your items in the document, and then you go into the view and decide which ones you're going to show. And then when I click on it, I open up a form and I have those fields where I edit it. Well, this can actually be inside Word. So someone knows how to use Word. So if someone says, oh, I now have to fill out an expense report, it can be Excel. I can give you an Excel template and they just fill it out. And when they hit save or submit and it ends up here, some of the values end up in these columns. And you're like, well, that's nice. I don't have to open it up to see those values. But better yet, I can interact with these values, meaning that I can do workflows and sorts and filters based on those values. So if it's an expense report, I can say if it's over 10,000 euros, show it in this one view. Or the approval now needs to go up to a different level. So I can expose values inside that rich client that people know how to use. So this is one example of an application using things people already know. Now, notes forms are always pretty ugly unless you spend a lot of time. Just by default, they were really ugly. So, and believe me, I made enough of them. So you say you have 200 notes databases. I'm sure you have more. that you're probably, do you think there's 200 that you care about? The problem with notes, or a problem with notes, that we never really addressed back at Lotus, was I create an application. I create a database based on a template or from scratch to do solve a problem, keep track of something, or to have a Christmas party. Who's bringing what? You're bringing the guests. And I would do that in notes. I create a nice little database. Christmas is over. The database is backed up to 3 servers, replicated. There's images in there and everything. It's still there 10 years later. Why would it go away? Unless you actively went and said, you know, I have to get rid of that database. And I'm going to delete it. And again, it's on 3 different replicas. The way Notes works is that, you know, it can be on a dozen, it could be on 20 different servers, replicas. It means just copies, identical copies, that when you make a change to one, the changes replicate around. And that's because Notes was created in a world where networks sucked. I first used Lotus Notes in 96, and it was using modems. You hooked a modem up to your laptop, and you synchronized, and you disconnected. So what you would do is, I can't reach that server. Its modem is down. I can't reach that server's modem is down. So you'd say, especially when you use beta software, I'm putting it on 6 servers. It was no more work. You just say, I'm going to put it on these 6 servers. And it just would then replicate. And that way, it would fail over. It can't work there. It can't work. Oh, this one works now, and it would do it. But the problem was, then you had duplicates, lots and lots and lots of duplicates. So when you say 200, you're not even talking about duplicates. You're talking about 200 different ones, but they may be on 10 different servers. So you could have 200 times 10. You know, it could easily be. The problem you can see, like, is what about things that aren't used? SharePoint, by default, has a 6-month cycle, meaning that if I create a demo for you guys, I create a site, hey, look how it works great. 6 months from now, I'll get an email from SharePoint that will say, hey, you remember that site you created? No one has touched that in 6 months. If someone touched it, I don't get bothered. It's just being used. But if it says no one has touched this for 6 months, and in the email is actually a link that says, do you want to get rid of it? And I can click on that link and I'm done. So that's all I have to do. Or there's another link that says, no, keep it around. It's for my taxes. I only use it once a year kind of thing. Keep it. That's also configurable. You know, you can say, no, this one should last forever. The government requires it, or this one must go away in 30 days, and so on. But it's lifecycle management. It means get rid of those applications so you don't end up with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of applications. So that's usually good for managers. They say, great, I was afraid I'd be in the same problem I had with Notes 5 years from now. Because Notes, again, they have a huge number of databases, and they don't know what are being used and what aren't. So it solves that problem. So that's a built-in feature. I mentioned search. Just by putting things up there, I can search, I can find them. I can find that information, I don't have to recreate it. I don't have to install anything. Well, that's a bit of a lie. You have to have a browser. So if you have a browser, I send you a link, there's your application. In Notes, I had to give you a Notes ID. I had to set you up in the directory. I mean, yes, you have to be a directory in AD, but I don't have to have an ID file. So nothing to install. When I say less code, that means most things require no code. Notes version 3 had no coding other than app formulas. There's a lot of applications around that were created in Notes version 3. And I tell Notes developers, I think of SharePoint as Notes version 3. In that, for the end user, they can do a great deal with only having the skills of an app formula, like a spreadsheet. They can do a lot. But then, if you are a developer, you can do a lot more that you couldn't really do with Notes. So, but generally, Notes 3 is sort of the end user experience. And you'll be creating lots and lots of applications, but I don't care because they go away. Integration with Microsoft products, you'll see more of that. But the fact that Microsoft owns Office means we can put features in Office that link it to SharePoint. So like I said, it knows, a Word document knows it lives in SharePoint. It knows that's where its master is, and it'll do syncing automatically. Mobile, well, Notes had a mobile interface, but not only can I use a browser on my phone to see my SharePoint site, but I can actually use a SharePoint application, SharePoint Workspace, on my phone, so I can actually take information, forms, lists, you know, the list data, bring it down to my phone, and then turn off my, you know, phone airplane mode and interact with that information. So that's kind of nice that I can take it offline. And also this SharePoint Workspace rich client for your PC. Again, I can bring it all down offline, disconnect from the network, go off, fill out forms, search, play with the data, get back online, and gee, it replicates the differences up. That's a Ray Ozzie feature. So it's just like Notes. Reporting. Notes has no reporting. People don't know that, but Notes has zero reporting capability. You have to write it yourself. That goes back to your views. You create lots of views. Sometimes you export data into Excel, or you use like Crystal Reports or something like that. There's lots and lots of manual creating of reports. SharePoint has reports built right in. It's easy to, and the idea is the end user is going to do their own reporting. So 2010 is where the ribbon came in. So the first time you have the ribbon in the browser, which is huge. And then by default, when I have my data and I have my, you know, my view, when I click on one of those and say edit, in 2010, what comes up actually is an InfoPath form. Instead of an ASPX page, well, it really is an ASP page, but in the past, I had this form and I could edit it, but I had to do it with HTML and Java, JavaScript and like that. Now I can edit it with InfoPath. InfoPath is a tool, drag and drop, no code. So I can add validation, I can add fonts, and I can do all that stuff with a tool that doesn't let me, you know, go into the JavaScript, HTML, which means I can let end users do their own forms. But by default, that's what you get in 2010, which I think is huge. We'll talk about Visio workflow. This is where someone can actually draw a picture in Visio of their workflow. Submit new document if over $1 million approved by a manager. Otherwise, go this way. Send an email to the requester. And they just draw that out like Computer Science 101. And they can then export it over to me as a developer and SharePoint designer, and I can finish it. So you can get direct input from the business people on how they want the workflow to be. So, and then if they want to change it, they can change it in their, you know, back on Visio and so on. So you end up with a graphical image of the workflow documentation. BCS is Business Connectivity Services. It's just like LEI, which no one uses here. It's the way to talk to external systems. SAP, a relational database, something with a web service wrapper. I can interact with it as if the data is local. So it's our little interface to that. So I like to stick fun at IBM because when they stood up and said thin client, DB2 relational backend, WebSphere, web browser, well, we have SQL Server as the backend, so it's a relational store just like they were saying it, and then SharePoint is the server layer, and the browser is what they announced back in 2003 that they were planning on doing. So it's a lot like IBM's roadmap. So if it's a web server, the relational store, it has only not just a thin client, but mobile and offline clients. The social, we'll do some of that so you can search on people, and it's got profiles, sort of Facebook-y kind of things. Not as good as Facebook yet, but getting there. Totally focused on getting the workload to the end users to do what they want. Stop bugging us, guys. Composite applications, we'll do some demos on that. Document management is sort of the bread and butter. That's where the value is, like right out of the box, lots of value, no-brainer, justifies the cost. So the non-Notes people get really bored here. So this is my mapping of concepts. So Notes database data, when I say that, I'm thinking of all documents collection. So my program, all documents collection, has no UI, right? It's a memory thing. And to see it, I need to have a view. SharePoint has a list, has no UI. Notes has a view, SharePoint has a view. I need to apply a view to see it. And the view can show me which columns to see and how to sort and so on. So very, very similar. A Notes document, which is really not a document. People think, oh, a document. It's not a document. It's a container of items. SharePoint has items. So just to confuse you, so if you have a Notes document, those things you see in the view, when you look at a SharePoint view, you're looking at items. Notes form, we talk about InfoPath, which, by the way, under the covers is an ASPX page. So when you look at it in the browser, it's an ASPX page, but it's complete enough so I can actually edit it in InfoPath. And then a Notes agent, this is a little bit of a shoehorn fit here. Notes agent, a SharePoint workflow or workflow activity. It triggers on an event. Someone creates a new document, a document of value changes in one of the fields, and it triggers an event, and then it runs the workflow. We'll look at those. I mean, you have a Notes client, and you have a Notes browser. I mean, you have the browser for Notes apps. Similar, SharePoint, I have Office, mobile, and browser. It's called the Domino server. We call it the SharePoint server. I mentioned Lotus Enterprise Integrator for talking to external sources. We have BCS and BDC. BDC was in 2007, and it's read-only. BCS is read-write. So I can actually be in my SharePoint application changing data, and the data is being changed in DB2, Oracle, whatever, if I configure that. There's templates in Notes, database templates. SharePoint has site templates. Same thing. You can do a mail-in database in Notes. You can do a mail-in list. A list can have an email address. You can mail into it. So it's very, very similar to Notes. I always tell Notes developers that are a little bit overqualified to do SharePoint work. So let's go create a list. And that is, we're going to create a list, a view, and a form. And let's hope our connection to the world is still there. So I'm going to totally cheat, and that is, I'm very lazy because I'm a developer. So yeah, let's do that one. So look, vaguely familiar because it's ugly. It's a Notes app that I created, especially ugly. So this is the web interface. Domino has, if you turn on the HTTP task, do you guys even turn it on, the task, or you don't know? You say you have no web apps. You guys do. And most. Well, you don't need one. If it's only on one server. But the point is, see the URL up there says www.msdomino.net. That's my hosted public Domino server. So I can do all my demos everywhere. Products.nsf. That's sort of equivalent to the site in SharePoint. So it's just, that's the NSF, that's the database. And then it says products, that's actually a space, by ID. That's the name of the view. If I back up, it can actually pick a different view, but we don't care. And if I click on one of these, I get a very ugly web form. I have a web form, and I haven't enabled it to be able to edit or anything. This is out of the box. I did nothing to this view, this database, other than put it on the server. That's all I've done. But I told you I was going to create a list, and that I was lazy. So this open view thing will show me one page of data, right? And here's this next. All this navigation is out of the box. I'm going to change this to, well, there's a couple ways of doing this. Okay, we'll do it the cool way, then we'll show you a shortcut later. I'm going to change. This is actually, the thing that says open view is a URL command. It's an out-of-the-box command from Domino. It says, give me that data, one page of it, and give it to me as HTML. That's what that command does. I'm going to change that command to, read view entries. That's another command. Have you used read view? If you're not doing web things, you haven't done this. And then I say ampersand count equals minus one. So I've now said, don't give me HTML. Read view entry says, give me an XML version of that same data. So don't give me HTML, give me XML. And don't give me one page by default. Give me all of it. Count equal minus one says, give me all of it. There it is. I now have an XML stream of all the data in that view. Cool. I'm going to copy this URL, and we're going to use something that will probably make you laugh. I'm going to fire up Access. And I know when I say Microsoft Access, people turn their head and spit. They really hate Access. We're just using it temporarily here. So I'm going to create a blank database. And then I'm going to go into external data, import XML. Here, I'm going to put in our URL. I say OK. Now, there's only one gotcha in this, but we'll cover it. Right now, what happened is Access called that URL, found the XML, looked at the XML, and said, you know, I found this thing called data entry, which is the default title, and all it has in there is text. So one value. And that is because that XML is a crappy XML. Some of the values are in elements, some of it's in attributes. So I have a transform that works in any view. All it does is move columns around. Now look, it says, here's the fields I found. All it does is move things around so I can find them. So like I said, you can download that style, transform. I can give it to you. You can write it yourself. It's very easy. It just moves things around. And now I said, I found that stuff. Do you want it? And I have the choice of bringing in just that structure, meaning the schema, or I can bring in the structure and the data, or I can append this to an existing table inside of Access. I'm going to bring in everything. And it asks me if I want to save this so I can repeat it or run a macro later on. And remember, I'm in Access and I have a relational database now. So I've taken that view data and I've created a relational database. So we're halfway there. Now in here, I might want to do things like set this, well, if we look at the design of this, this is not required, but the cost, I might want to set as a number, a currency. So, and I could set the location, let's see, quantity as a number. Let's do that. And it's going to be decimal places. It's going to be zero. My mouse isn't really doing good things here. And the point is I can actually massage the data. You don't have to, but for non-notes people, you may not know that notes really does not have data types. The forms do, but it didn't say someone. So what can happen, that's warning me that I'm going to cast this data. Oh, save it. Okay, fine. And then it's warning me that I might lose something. If I set the thing to a number and it says, hi, mom, it could be a problem. And I think I lose one in this. So notes, when it stores it, has no data types. The forms that you interact with it have the data type casting. It says this is a number and so on. But it doesn't mean that I could have written this one time and I could have had the cost as a text. And then a year later, changed the form so now it's in currency. That means that some of them are text, some of them are currency. Notes doesn't care. It's more than happy to have some bad data in there or some relational database. We're like, what do you want? You only get one. But Notes doesn't care. So you might want to fix things here, but you don't have to. I then go to external data, export to more, and I'm going to export to a SharePoint list, which is our goal to begin with. Let's go to Tony's. I got enough of them on my site. I say okay. See the box is checked that says open it when I'm done. Now here's the cool part. Access is actually calling the web service APIs in SharePoint right now. It's saying, hey SharePoint, create me a list and I need a customer ID and I need a freight charge, I need a location, and it defines it. When you're done with that, let me know. Okay, now that you're done with that, here's the data I want you to copy up there, essentially making all the list items. And then when you're done, open it up in a browser for me. So there's a brand new SharePoint list. And I'm going to go to some of the list attributes here. See our ribbon? Here's our ribbon. And I want to change the view to show you some extra information. Now, just like in Lotus Notes, if you create a new document, Lotus Notes, and you put three fields in there, you end up with like 20 fields. Because there's things like created by. See, created by. Oh, here's date created. Created by. ID was in there. Title is a default thing. So basically, there's system things that are created for them. I'm going to turn on the created by. And I'm going to add this edit link item. It's just going to be an icon they can click on to go into edit. And I'm going to make that the first column. Okay, my mouse is not happy. I'll use this. And I can do a bunch of things down here. I can group and filter and sort and add totals to the bottom, a lot like a view in Notes. I say okay. Now this is a grid view, which means I can actually go in and type in any of these values and edit, which is just kind of nice. It's like a spreadsheet. But I'm going to show you the standard view where you can see that extra fields. Oh, the created by is there, but you'll see some more stuff. So, a bad thing, created by is me. I did the migration, so now it's been stamped with my, so I've lost who created this by, so that's bad. But what's cool is because this is a name type, just like in Notes, I can hover over a name and see, information. I can call me on the phone. I can start a chat. I can send an email. I can get attributes. So there's a lot of these things I can see about a name data type. All I can know. So you guys have same time? So it's the same idea. It's the same time. You have a name, and that does that. So that's kind of nice just by turning on that column. And if I go over here to the, by the way, I can do things like sort and filter. So I can say, just show me everyone that starts with the third. Show me the 15th one. There's the 15th one, you know. So I get, these are the things that normally you have to create another view for. So end users can do, so you don't have to create 20 views, maybe two, and they go crazy. If I click on the edit link, there's a form. So a default form, so that a view was created for me and a form was created for me. All I did was bring the data in. So this is a good start for learning. You say, you know, I'm going to take a notes database that I understand. I'm going to bring it in here, and now I'm going to do things to it. So we're going to talk about things that now that you have to do. We've only moved the data. That's all we did. But the system created a view and a form for us. Yay, good head start. We're not done by a long shot. Good news is I can edit this form in InfoPath, which means no HTML, no JavaScript. It's just drag and drop, typing, like creating a Word document kind of thing. I just love the fact that I get spell checking by default. I mean, when I'm filling out forms, I just need that spell checking. See this customized form? If I click there, well, let's go ahead and do it, I guess. Actually, I don't want title. Title's a default field. Actually, we can just do this. Come on, mouse. My mouse is acting up. I can left justify it. Senator, you know, so basically I can start typing more text, different places. You know, I can work with this form. I can actually add controls. Insert. And here's tables, but there's controls. Where I need my glasses. And I can drag in a date picker. You know, I can do all those things very much like notes. So I'm not doing any HTML, I'm doing anything like that. So, okay, we're going to cancel this. And so we created a list. It created a view and a form for us. We actually went to edit, and to edit the list, I didn't really show you. We'll see a little more like in there. Well, you saw me change the view. I changed the view a little bit. I could go into the list and add more columns, like in notes. Like I say, hey, I need more data. We edited the view. We edited the form. And you can watch this at home. There's a YouTube video of this. The whole process takes 6 minutes. So in 6 minutes, I go from here's a notes database. And you can use my database, that public server one, you know, the Domino one, to kind of get a feel for things. But let's talk about, yeah. Five. So, yeah, no, it's a good question. I'm like, 4, 6, I think, but 5 for sure. And that's, it's way, way back. So if they, and the thing is, you only need one. So if I had one server that was beyond 5, I could then put the replicate the database to that and it would work. So yeah, it seems like an advanced feature, but it's been there forever. So we saw a notes database, we brought in a SharePoint, and we've got a form. By the way, this all works with 2007. So if you have Access 2007 or you have, I should leave that off for the sales guy. They won't say, no, you have to get the latest version, but it does work with the older versions. But let's talk about the challenges. Unfortunately, at this point, all the managers go, great, I'll budget 200 euros to convert all my databases and we're done. So this is the, okay, it's true that you have some databases that's good enough for. If I have a database keeping track of parking spaces, good, right? The data's there. They can search, filter, sort, enter data. They can do everything they need to do. And I don't care who edited it last. I don't care about a lot of things. So it's good enough. And you probably have a even near 200, you probably have one or two this is good enough for. It's just a list of data. So, and my point is, I want you to go home and on Monday or whatever, you know, try it. Just, hey, let me go. I have a SharePoint site. I have a notes database. Let me do what Gary showed me. A little tip, though. You know how I said that count equal minus one? That goes to the server default maximum of 1,000. So if it's bigger than 1,000, you need to go into the server and change that. On mine, I put it 10,000. But there's a setting in the server. Otherwise, I can explicitly put a number in there, I think. You can put like 99 or 200, but I don't know what happens if you say 10,000 and your server has a default of 1,000. I don't know what happens. My guess is you only get 1,000 because the server is just trying to prevent overloading itself, you know, millions of records. By the way, it's really, really fast because rendering XML is just text. HTML is much more verbose. So a web view or a XML data stream, XML is much faster. So I did no rich text. If you had a photograph of your mom in one of the notes documents, I didn't deal with it because you couldn't see that in a view. You know, if it's in a view, I can get it. However, I also lost fonts, colors in the text, underline. I've lost all that. That didn't happen. The XML doesn't support that. So that's a biggie. It's like, oh, I have all this rich text I want to move over, and that's not going to do it. You saw me change who modified it to me. That's your audit trail. It's gone. Now, it's true I could have added the view, modified to the view, and it would have come in, and I could do things with it. Child and parent relationships. This was a flat view. There was no response to response to response. It's an all documents kind of view. If you have other views, I just brought in that view worth. If you have lots of data and lots of different views, you might have to create a view that has it all in there. Access control, reader author fields. Gone. Doc links. Well, doc links are rich text, but also I have not dealt with them. They're gone. Data validation in the form. You know, must be more than 100, greater than 0, that kind of stuff. If that was in the form, I don't have it. I've only moved the data. And then lastly here, this logic. Any kind of processing, workflow, I didn't do anything with that. But I do make the point that this, if this is useful for 5% of your applications, your 200, that's, you know, 10. And more useful is, yeah, it's 10, but you can do them tomorrow and start to build your skills. You can say, hey, look what I did. That wasn't so bad. Let me learn now how to do validation, which we're going to talk about a little bit. Let me learn how to do some workflows. And then you'll start learning, building it. When you first learned Lotus Notes, you did easy things. And then you did harder things and harder things and harder things. So what about those problems? Are they showstoppers? Well, no, third-party tools. So you say, what about rich text? I can't live without rich text. I got to have it. And so all of these tools deal with rich text. Microsoft has a deal with Cassell, with the EC Knowledge tool. So if Microsoft is helping you, they might say, hey, let's use EC Knowledge because we have a license. We bought like a block of licenses that we can use with customers. And Quest also has a migrating tool, but we don't have a deal with them. So you're paying the whole thing. But some companies already have deals with Quest. They're using Quest for other software. So F-Point's a funny story. Right now we're talking about no logic. You know, we're just saying rich text and doc links. By the way, they handle doc links. And the way they do doc links is actually really smart. And the funniest thing about doc links that I've had three vendors come up to me and say, we have a patented method of dealing with doc links and migrations. And all three of them explained it to me exactly the same way. So I'm like, some patent you got there. But it's interesting. Think about it. A doc link is just a reference to the notes document. So I have a workflow. Something happens. It mails you a document. You open it up, and in there is a doc link. It says, you must approve this. You click on that. You have a form. You then push the button or whatever you're going to do. What happens when that document you're pointing to is now in SharePoint? This doc link is still pointing to notes. It's going to break. People will be very mad. That's bad. So all of these vendors have done a very cool thing. What they do is they go through the databases and they change all doc links to pointers to a central server that redirects. So you click on it and it goes to the server. The server goes, oh, you're looking for this unique docker ID? I happen to know that it lives still on notes. So I'm going to redirect you to notes. It all works fine. Seamless to you. You click on it, you get what you want. Tomorrow, they've migrated that document to SharePoint. If you click on that link, it goes to the central server. Server says, I'm going to redirect you to SharePoint. And it goes to SharePoint. It's pretty smart. And then when you're all done with your migrations, you run a batch job that goes through and it takes out all the references and points them to where they go. I just thought it was pretty neat. But everyone deals with rich text, audit information, modified by, it goes to the notes. Now, there's a little bit of a challenge there. Gary Devendorf in Lotus Notes does not equal Gary Devendorf in Active Directory. Well, it does, but how does the software know? And this sucks a little bit. So these tools all will do the swapping, but they need you to create an XML document that has the mapping. So you do some exports from the Domino directory and exports from Active Directory, and you build an XML document. So that when it finds Gary Devendorf in Notes, it goes and looks at that XML file and says, he equals this person in Active Directory, and then it sticks that name in. So, but it does handle swapping of names. But what do you do when someone's not at the company anymore? Right? This document was created by Bob, who never was put in Active Directory. So you have to decide. Do you want to make up a system name, or what do you want to do? So those are some of the challenges there. Child-parent relationships. I know Quest has a special view with Twisties. It's a web part. It's for free. You can download it from the site for free. And so make it look like Notes. Some people say, I don't want it to look like Notes. Some people say, yes, it must look exactly like it did in Notes. So kind of your choice there. Other views, these tools don't use a view. They use the database itself. They go to all the items in the database and they move them. So you get all the data. Actually, you get to pick and choose. These migration tools, if you're migrating a template, meaning like a discussion or a document library or team room, it already knows all the field names. It also knows the target in SharePoint. And it requires no human intervention. You just say, that one's a template, go, and it runs. You just tell it where you want it in SharePoint. But if it's custom, you have to do some work. It's going to ask you questions, like what do you want to do? So we'll talk about that in more detail. Access control is just like the audit information. This person had access. Their name was in Notes. Now, what is an Active Directory? Let me set those. Data validation. Nobody does data validation. They all will move the form, though. So if you have a Notes form, even if the form has an embedded OLE object and a picture of your mom and doc links, they'll actually create an InfoPath form that's exactly the same way. So that's nice. So if you have really complicated long forms, you don't want to do it yourself, these tools will move those. Again, no one does logic workflow automation. There was a company that did that, but they're not in business anymore. It's pretty hard. So anyhow, the point being, you can do a lot yourself today. The easy stuff. You're going to need a tool. And then maybe for the last mile, you might even need services come in and help you out with the complicated ones. But we've had customers that start out with thousands and thousands and thousands of databases. And in the end, they needed help with 12 or 20. They actually had to pay a partner to come in and do that last mile. Okay, so lists, forms, and views, I can edit in the browser, lists and views. And the form, I'm editing it in InfoPath. I'm using SharePoint Designer for workflows, data resources, and actually a bunch of other stuff, but mostly for those kind of things. So I think in our schedule, we're at break point. So 10 minutes? 10 minutes, take a break, and we're going to shift sort of into, we talked a lot about how and why. We're going to go a little more detail into SharePoint, like what the guts of it are. So 10 minutes?